Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 28th, 2011, episode 281, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Hey, girls, it's Monday.
There's something wrong with us, something very, very wrong with us.
But it's still Monday. Time to ride, it's time to ride, ooh yeah.
Well, while I know it is a Monday, this is a Monday holiday. And why? Because our nation is, you know, I don't know how to say the word, but I just love the fact that our entire nation is coming together today to do one thing, and that is online shop. Happy Cyber Monday, everybody.
I forgot about that.
Isn't it great that after an entire weekend and week of overindulgence and eating and gorging and shopping on Black Friday and the whole weekend now we've been encouraged to sit at home in our slothiness and sit there and spend more money and purchase more stuff via the computer, which is what all of us would like to do anyway instead of actually go to a store, because we'd rather just sit here and just click, 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 click. Isn't it way better?
I think it's way better. And you know what? Jennifer actually ventured out on Black Friday in the afternoon to go shopping, and she was rather surprised at how empty the stores were by afternoon. They'd sort of clear out.
I think that the whole Black Friday thing, as I remember from my childhood when my grandmother and my aunts and my mom would all go out, was they would leave literally at like 5 a.m. If you weren't up and ready to get out of the house, you weren't going. They were leaving you behind.
Well,
no man left behind did not happen in our Black Friday existence. So, Jennifer, where did you go shopping? Did you hit the tack shops? Did you hit the clothes stores? What exactly was she looking for?
See, I think she was clothes shopping. I think she hit, like, Target and some of those. When we went, we actually did go to the movies on Thanksgiving Day in the afternoon. We went to see the Muppets movie. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But we went to see that, and when we left, Best Buy is right beside it. And there were probably 100, 150 people in line at 6 o'clock Thursday night. And it opened at midnight for the sales, and they said there was over 1,000 there by midnight. So it was pretty full. There were a lot of people waiting in line. And, of course, they said that the toy stores were just, you know, mobbed.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I know that I was down in, you know, wonderful, beautiful Palatka, Florida, which is where my mother lives. And that is just an ugly word, Palatka, Florida.
Yeah, it doesn't
which
even
is
sound nice.
No. The only nice part of Palatka, Florida is my mother's home. That's about it. Because it was Black Friday, and, you know, you just got to get out of the house. You've been in there all day Thursday. So we decided, my mom, my brother, and I decided to go shopping. And we wanted to take in the sights of Palatka, Florida. So we head out. And the shops in Palatka, Florida consisted of, and I didn't know this ahead of time, a Goodwill, they called it an antique shop, but it was more just like a junk store, and then another store that was actually called the junk store. So Those are the three places
that
I shopped.
That was your shopping choices?
Yeah.
I guess you didn't have to buy another suitcase to come home, did you?
Do you want to know what I spent money on? I actually did buy something, and it, I really felt like I overpaid. Was a Frisbee for my dog. 50 cents. That's it. It was so horrible. So I would like you to know that I did do some online shopping last night in the way of equine things online. And there were so many deals that I just had to, like, if you spend $200, you get $50 off. And I'm like, oh, I'm only $40 more to get $50 off, so might as well just keep buying.
See, that stuff works, doesn't it?
It really does. So there's lots of deals out there. So if you're not signed up for, you know, like the State Line Tax and the Equestrian Collections, and sign up for all of their mailing lists, Dover, whatever online shopping you like to do, sign up for all those, and they'll send you the emails with the deals. And there are Black Cyber Monday deals. I've already been getting the emails, so definitely check that out.
All right, terrific. Well, we went out to the Blessing of the Hounds. We'll talk about that a little bit, too, out at the Woodford Hunter Shaker Village. Got to tell you a little bit about that. Posted some pictures. But first, let's find out from Jennifer what's on today's show now that we're back live.
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, we open our post-Thanksgiving feast show with the all-awesome lineup. First, we have the fantastic ASPCA Metal McClay champion Sarah Milleran, with the insider's look at that penultimate competition for up-and-coming jumpers since the 1900s were still young. And next up, successful horse search story. Yay! From Net Posse's Debbie Metcalf. We're going to hear about that. And fantastically enough, also included in today's special one-day deal, a stupefying array of horsey headlines primed and ready to rock your Monday.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. And this is my daily Winnie, and I have so many sound files in here today, Jamie, it might take me a minute. My daily Winnie goes out to Paul Justin, who is a musician from Norco, California, who is lending us some equipment to use on our trip out there this week, because I realized that we did not have speakers and a couple of other things that we were going to need out there. And he is going to take off work tomorrow to come out and help us hook him up for our live show there on Wednesday morning at the America's Country Store. So thank you to Paul. We're going to play one of your songs today just to thank you for being a big help. We really do appreciate it.
All right, well, just keeping up with the shopping and the Cyber Monday, and everybody is supposed to go online and spend a lot of money. You want to go to EcoGold because they are offering Black Friday deals all the way through Cyber Monday. Now, what's funny is EcoGold is a Canadian company, but they're full on getting into the spirit of American spending, and you can go on.
You don't think Canadians spend money?
Huh?
You don't think Canadians spend money?
I think they do, but I don't think it's like, do they have their same Thanksgiving as we do and all that?
No,
I don't think so.
Their Thanksgiving is a couple weeks before ours, I think.
See, so they're celebrating our American holidays by getting in the spirit, and all you have to do, you can go to EcoGold to celebrate Black Friday and all the way through Cyber Monday. It's only good through today. If you type in the internet coupon code Black Stuff 15. I don't know why, but Black Stuff 15, and you'll get discounts and deals on all your stuff. So that's EcoGold. Definitely go check that out.
All right, great. Thank you very much. Well, of course, we are heading out tomorrow. We'll actually have a recorded show for you tomorrow. Jamie, I put together a recorded show tomorrow. It's the best of quizzes. All the different quizzes that we've taken. Remember when the Pony Clubber beat us up and whooped us in the quiz contest? You know, are you smarter than the Pony Clubber? And we weren't. And then also the top 10 songs. That was a couple people's favorite episode, the top 10 songs. And we have a couple of others in there, too, for tomorrow. And then we'll be back live on Wednesday morning from Norco, from America's Country Store there. And we are inviting anybody who is in the Norco area to come out We're going to have a live audience that day, first time for that. So come out and join us at America's Country Store at 6 a.m. Pacific time, 6 to 7:30. And I'm going to get a little taste of what it's like to be Jamie and have to get up early.
You know, this is even an hour earlier for me now because I have comfortably now separated myself 2 hours from you as opposed to three. California's even three. So we're all going to suffer a little bit, but you worse than me, so that's
well,
fine.
Well, and, you know, it always is bad when you're flying from the East Coast to the West Coast because you lose that 3 hours, which is great. You have an extra 3 hours, but, you know, bedtime, your normal bedtime is now going to be 3 hours later. So the next day you really feel it. We have to get up at like 4 something to do the show that next morning. So it could be interesting.
You'll be all right. You'll make it. It sucks flying home because then you lose all that time. So going to the West Coast is great.
Well, I'll tell you what. Well, I'm very happy about it right now. It's been raining since yesterday morning. We've had inches of rain here again in Lexington. The mud is just a foot deep at the farms around here, and it is just coming down. It's supposed to for the next couple of days, and then after we fly out tomorrow morning, it's supposed to turn to snow for a day or two. So we're leaving just in the nick of time. We're getting the heck out of here. But we had a beautiful day, Jamie, on Saturday for the Blessing of the Hounds out at Shaker Village, which is about 20 miles south of Lexington. Beautiful countryside, rural Kentucky, and Shaker Village is absolutely just a serene, beautiful place. It's they have redone an old Shaker Village, and the main street's just all the way it used to be with all the buildings and everything. And I posted pictures.
Remind me what the Shakers were.
Well, it was a religious order that we would say had some strange beliefs in that they didn't believe in men and women commingling in any way, shape, or form. They never had kids. The only kids that, by the way, which is why they died out eventually, because they weren't allowed to mate. And all the buildings had two entrances, one for the men and one for the women. They sat separate. Everything was done separately. And they just lived in this communal-like situation. Now, the Shakers were very thrifty and actually invented a lot of the things that we use today and actually made quite a bit of money back in the 1800s as a group. But they did eventually die out and went away. But as a communal group all working together, they were pretty successful. But this village is really neat because the buildings are restored and everything. And if you take a look at the pictures I posted on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning, you'll get a glimpse of that. And the Woodford Hunt has their Blessing of the Hounds there every year. So it's very pretty. There were a lot of people came out. It was beautiful weather. It was in the 60s and sunny. And from Shaker Village, which is neat, it's like 3,000 acres. So from the village itself, it's all open land and hills and valleys, and you could see the hunt heading out, and you could follow them for the next 15, 20 minutes going over the hills and seeing, you know, running and jumping in the distance. And there were probably close to, I don't know, Jennifer, what would you say, close to 100 riders there that day.
Yeah,
there were a lot of riders.
Turnout. It was lovely.
Hey, what, 3 fields go out?
It looked like they had 3 separate fields, yeah.
Yeah. So it was neat. It was just beautiful, and it's always fun to watch, and, you know, the history of it, and you just get a feeling when you're at a Blessing of the Hounds, and then when you see them all take off. It is really neat. And at Shaker Village, it was especially cool. And you can check out those pictures on the website. So that was one of the fun things.
Well, and about, you know, how many people go out and watch that? Is this something that you and Jennifer do because you used to be in the hunt up north, or is it something that lots of people go watch?
There were probably literally hundreds of people there watching.
Really?
Yeah, there were a lot of people there watching. It's a happening. It's, you know, even up in Massachusetts when Jennifer was hunting with myopia, it was a happening. People came out from the neighborhood, people that don't know much about horses. There were non-horse people there. And at one point, we were standing there, and I looked over, and right beside me was the governor, Bashir, was standing right there. And then I realized that his wife rides in the hunt. But he was standing there incognito. Let me tell you, he had his hat on, and he was looking all scruffy. And, you know, I was only until I heard his voice did I realize he was even there. But Governor Bashir was there, and I looked for his wife, Jane, but, you know, when they have those hats on, they all look alike.
And the hats and the coats and all that.
I know.
So did the governor of Kentucky travel with like a posse? Does he have security?
I saw one bodyguard that I could tell was a bodyguard. They usually, governors have state police, and, you know, I think they were out of uniform, obviously. But I think I saw one, but otherwise, you know, if he hadn't talked, I wouldn't have known it was him. And I've interviewed him before. I know what he looks like. But he was standing right beside me, and I didn't even realize it.
Did you go up and try to talk to him, and
no,
as you were
no,
walking
he
up to him,
he was,
Governor Beshear, and then you get tackled, T-boned from the side from security? Did that happen?
No, he probably recognized me anyway because I have interviewed him a couple times. But no, he looked like he wanted to have a day off.
Come on. You got to do things for the show every now and then, Glenn. I mean, to run up to governor and have you get tackled and, you know, possibly arrested would have been really good for our show today. As opposed to, we just saw
it. It
would have
been good for you.
It would have been awesome. I spent the weekend in jail. Really? Why? I tried to attack the governor. That's good stuff.
So it was fun. We had a good time. And then we went on Thursday to see the Muppet movie, which I know that you had mentioned that you're a big Muppet fan, right? Did you get to see the movie?
I did not because, believe it or not, in Palatka, Florida, there's only one movie theater, and the only movie that movie theater was playing on both of its screens was the Twilight movie.
Did you see it? Are you a Twilight fan?
No. My mom.
Yeah, you know, Helena's a huge Twilight fan. She loves that stuff.
Yeah. I had enough with Harry Potter. I'm good.
Well, the Muppet movie was good. It really was a throwback to the old Muppet TV show. And, for those that were old enough, like me, to remember the old Muppet TV show, that's what it was a throwback to. And it was really neat. It was a good movie. It takes you back. It had the corny songs and all that stuff. But it did take me back. I wrote this on Facebook the next day. It really made me remember my dad because that was one of the very few movies my dad would actually sit and watch with us kids. Or very few TV shows. He didn't watch much TV. And the one show I can remember him sitting and watching and laughing at was The Muppet Show. So it really made me remember my dad because it was that kind of nostalgia in this particular movie. It really did bring you back to the show. It had the songs from the show. It was good. I would have given it a 3.5 probably out of 5. Not higher because I didn't think it was quite up to the comedy level of previous TV shows that I remember, but maybe I just remember them being funnier when I was a kid. I don't know. I don't realize how long it's been since those shows were on TV in the 70s. Long time.
Well, I want to know now, because I remember watching the Muppets, and, you know, there was always a celebrity that guest hosted the Muppet Show, and I know that I've seen some celebrities on the previews, but I think a lot of times, a lot of the Muppets in the 70s was more geared and designed towards adults. Even though it was a Muppet show. Now, did you find that it was a lot of adult comedy?
Yes, I think there was. That's what I mean by going back and being a little more retro, because if you were an adult, you would enjoy this movie. Matter of fact, it was very interesting because in the audience, and now this was Thanksgiving Day, and it had come out Thanksgiving Day, but in the audience, there were more adults than there were kids.
Great.
Yeah, because it really, you know, the Muppets, when you think about it, those of us that remember the Muppet TV show, you've got to be, what, over 35 to remember that. I don't remember it being on reruns a whole lot. So, you know, kids will know Muppets from Sesame Street, but they're not going to really know the Muppet show, what you're talking about, the little more sophisticated humor, because they were really older. They were back. I say you have to be over 35 to remember that. And that was the age demographic of the audience. And I think that's what you're going to find probably when you go see this. There's going to be a lot of people my age in there watching the Muppets.
That's great. I just remember, because I was really young, I'm not 35 yet, creeping up on it, though, quickly. But I remember when Luke Skywalker hosted the Muppet Show.
Yes.
And that was like
he actually
like
had a name. What was his name?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Can't remember either.
That's the only thing I think he ever did beside the movies was host a Muppet Show.
They had some big A-list stars. If you remember, there were A-list stars on the Muppet Show. They had big names on that show.
Like Luke Skywalker.
I know, yeah. Hey, we have a we have a caller calling in, and it's good because we need to bust your chops a little and find out what's going on. We have Lisa from from Norco calling in, and Lisa, we just want to know, are you ready for us? Is everything good to go?
Yeah, the last thing that I had to take care of was make sure that the weatherman got you the perfect weather, and we finally got
because
that.
Because it sucks
all
here in Lexington. We're ready. Ready. It's bad here. So now you've got everything lined up and we're all good?
Everything's all put in place.
And
what's,
I noticed Dominique posted on Facebook last week, at the end of last week, that there is a zebra ready for Jamie to ride.
Yee-hoo!
That is correct.
Yay!
Awesome.
You're going to ride a zebra.
I know. I'm really excited. First of all, I've got a couple questions for you, Lisa, because, you know, you've been in communication with Glenn. And as we know, men do not communicate very well from there. So, like, you telling Glenn everything, and he's telling me virtually nothing. So, what is the forecast, first of all?
We had 80-degree weather. We have light Santa Anas, and coming up this week, we're going to be in the 70s. So it's. I ordered the
perfect
weather. You're going to have it.
God love
perfect.
You. Okay.
I love that.
This is why the horses and animals in Norco are so happy, and the horses in Kentucky are getting rained on and freezing and being left outside with their muzzles on, like Glenn's horse. Now,
actually,
my
he
next
took his
question,
muzzle off. Now the grass has died sufficiently. So
oh, okay, good. Now, can I bring a couple things? Can I bring my dog and can I bring my horse? Because I'm driving, because I don't live too far away from you guys. So Glenn had no idea about the answers to this
Lisa,
question.
Lisa, say no.
Kind of
say no. Say no, Lisa. Say no.
Well, if you really wanted to, Jamie, we could accommodate you.
Okay.
Glenn's telling me to tell you no.
Well, we don't care about Glenn. I'll call you later.
But, yes, we could accommodate you.
Okay. Well, I mean, it is the horse capital of the world, Glenn. I should bring my horse, don't you think? I think it only makes sense. You're just afraid I'll make you ride him.
No, I'm not really worried about that. I don't think he'd let me ride him. I think that's where the case. Not too concerned about that. So good, Lisa.
All right.
Well, we're very excited to be heading out your way tomorrow.
Yes, yes. And, you know, Jamie, you wouldn't even have to worry about bringing feed or anything like that because once you got here, you could tell me if you fed Timothy or Orchard or Five-Way or Three-Way or 50-50 or it wouldn't matter what you fed. I could pick up the phone and the feed could be delivered here within about an hour.
Oh, my gosh. See, and I feed Purina feeds. So I wouldn't, and like we talked to the Purina expert last week, they're pretty much the same because they pass so many rigorous tests. I could just drive straight out to Norco and feed your Purina feed strategy and senior and those things, and it wouldn't make a difference to my horse at all.
That's right.
It's
and
like
it
it's meant
be
to
be delivered to. It could be delivered to the driveway in about an hour.
But I will tell you this, Jamie. You'll bring your horse along. You won't have time to see it because Lisa has every minute of every day booked.
I do.
She does.
That is.
You could bring him along, but you're not going to see him.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true. You know, one of the things that you completely missed when you went out to the family reunion thing up in San Francisco, I'm going to fulfill that for you while you're here.
Oh, we're drinking some wine. Yeah. I love it.
Now, are we allowed to mention that we're visiting the barns at Disney, too? Or are we not allowed to mention that?
Well, that cat's out of that bag.
Don't you love live radio?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, we are looking forward, Lisa, to coming on out. We will we'll be seeing you tomorrow about noon time.
Yes. Everybody have a great, safe trip. And I'd like to tell all of your listeners, I hope they had a very nice, happy Thanksgiving and a very safe one. And anyone who is in the general area here of Norco, please come out and join us on Wednesday. We are having a live audience, Purina sponsoring that particular day, and they're going to have goodie bags and coupons, and there's going to be all kinds of giveaways. So it'll be worth the trip to not only meet the two of you, but we're going to make it really fun for everybody.
All right, yeah. Cool. Well, thanks a lot, Lisa. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Okay, great.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye, Lisa. Guys.
See,
I do.
Did she sound sleepy? That's what we're going to sound like.
I know it is 6:20 for her, 6:26. So bless her heart for calling in. That is major AM. And I would like to say that I am going to be out of Purina grain by the time I leave. So since I'm driving my truck, I'm going to buy grain. Maybe I'll get some hay. I'm
there
excited.
Stock up. Load up the truck. And it does look like it's supposed to be really nice weather, so that's nice, too. We appreciate her ordering that up. Apparently, she waited the last minute to take care of that little detail, but as a compliment.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about our, speaking of feed substances, let's talk about our sponsor for today's show.
And you know what? I've been online looking for Cyber Monday specials for them, too. They're a Canadian company, too. They're such fantastic products. And, of course, we're talking about Omega Alpha. We all care about what we feed our horses, probably more than what we feed ourselves. Yeah, how many vitamins and supplements do you take, and how many does your horse take? Probably a heck of a lot more than you. Omega Alpha cares what goes into your horses and your ponies, and that's why they use only natural formulations for enhancing equine health and performance. And if you've heard Dr. Chang on our show, he comes on once a month, the guy has forgotten more about feeding horses than we even know. So all of their products are made by them using the finest natural ingredients available. The other difference with Omega Alpha is the science that goes into their products. Dr. Chang is well respected in the industry as a pioneer of putting in the right natural ingredients together to make formulations that actually work for your horse. They have a wide range of products to help your horse, and you can see them all at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca.
Well, thank you, Janie. Well, we have a couple of guests coming up here today and some news for you as well. We're going to get started with somebody I'm very excited to speak with. Jennifer and I, a couple of weeks ago, went out to the National Horse Show, and we got to spend a couple of days out there, and the National Horse Show always ends with the McClay National Championship, and we got to watch some of that day as well. We got to see the next person ride that day. And she is the winner of the ASCPA Alfred B. McClay National Championship. It's really the premier competition for junior riders in the country, and it's been going on since 1933 at the Nationals. And the previous winners are some serious names like William Steinkraus, Frank Chapeau, George Morris. A couple of names you might recognize have won at the Metal McClay Championship. Well, let's talk to the winner of this year's 2011 winner of the McClay Championship, and that's Sarah Milleran. Good morning, Sarah, and congratulations.
Good morning. Thank you.
We have something to say to you. That's terrific.
Thank you.
I mean, first, before we get into this competition, which was very exciting and came down to the last three mm-hmm. riders and was thrilling to the end, and considering
yeah.
that it started out with 200 riders that day, to whittle it down
yeah.
to just three is amazing in itself. But before all of that, you're from Tulsa, Oklahoma, near Tulsa.
Yes, I am.
How the heck does a teenager growing up in Oklahoma, especially Tulsa, end up riding an English saddle and not a Western saddle, and why aren't you running barrels?
Well, actually, it started with my mom. She always rode English and hunter jumpers. So I got an early start with that.
Are you like the only two in the state?
Yeah, pretty much. There aren't very many. There's like three English hunter jumper barns here. So
I bet. There's not a lot.
Yeah.
Now, when I saw that you won, I went, wow, that is amazing, because usually you see West Coast or East Coast riders win. I think you're the first one I remember that has ever won from the middle of the country, especially Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think so. I think there was one winner from Oklahoma at the USCF medal, but other than that, I don't think so.
You're an exception to the rule out there for sure. Well, I got to tell you, this is so exciting, but there's a lot of people that don't understand how the competition works for the McClay and why it's so important. Why is the McClay National so important to people your age?
It's really, like, it's one of the biggest equitation classes, and it just takes so much to get there. You have to go through, you have to qualify, and then you have to go to your regionals, and then you just have to make it through your regionals to get to the finals. It's just a long process.
Did I read this? Was this first year at the finals?
No, it was my second year.
Second year, okay.
Yeah.
So when you get there that day, there literally was like 198 riders. They just seemed to take forever to get through. It was just a bunch of them. So the competition is obviously stiff. These are the best riders from all over the country. Just give us a brief outline of how it works that day.
Well, you get there, and then you have to walk your course. And they let the, like, first 25 walk by themselves, and then they let the rest of the people go in. And that's always kind of crazy because there's so many people out there walking the course. You don't really, like, get a chance to see the course.
And I have to tell you, before you go on, I got to tell you that they made some twisty, windy courses for you guys. I don't think I could remember it. Just walking.
Yeah, they really did. It was
amazing. Some of the twists and turns.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then I honestly don't know how the judges do it, sitting through all of those rounds. I mean, I don't know. I would get pretty bored. Doing the same thing over and over again.
Yes, with 198 of them.
Right.
Well, then they narrow it down to smaller groups throughout the day, right?
Right. Right.
And then you have to ride again.
Yes, they do it. The flat phase is next. And they had three groups this year. I'm not sure how many were in each group. I think like 15 to 20. And then they bring back the top 20 for a second round over fences.
So you had to jump again then the second round.
Right. I had a total of three over fences rounds, counting the final work off with the top three.
And then they narrowed it down to three. And that's where it became very interesting, because you were all like within a point of each other.
Right. That was kind of stressful because we weren't sure if they were going to do final testing. And when they announced that, they didn't tell us who was testing. So a bunch of the riders that were in the second round were just freaking out. We're like, who's testing? We don't know what's going on. So that was kind of crazy.
Now, were you technically in the lead going into the final three?
Yes, I think I was. I was not in the lead going into the second round over fences. I had dropped down a spot on the flat.
So were you, at that point, when you were announced for the final three, did the nerves kick in at that point, or had you been going all day, it wasn't that bad?
The nerves definitely kicked in then. I think that was the most nervous I've ever been. I usually don't get nervous.
And that stadium, it's a big stadium, so it probably added to it too.
Well, yeah, definitely.
Now, the neat thing is, you actually didn't win this thing riding your horse, did you?
No, it was not my horse.
So tell everybody why you weren't riding your horse when you won.
I've actually never had my own equitation horse. I've always just ridden what I can, whatever's available. And the horse that I rode was the horse that I was on at my regionals. And I didn't get to show him at Harrisburg or Washington. They showed two different horses. And it was kind of a last-minute decision that I was going to ride him at finals because somebody else leased the horse I was originally going to ride. It's kind of confusing.
So it really was taken out from under you, and this was your backup plan?
Yeah, pretty much.
Tell us about the horse that you did ride.
Sorry, what?
Tell us about the horse. A little bit about the horse.
He is 10 years old. He's I'm not really sure what breed he is, but he's owned by Walsip Stables. The O'Meara family owns him. And he is just an awesome horse. I know Don Stewart got him whenever he was really young, and he just saw something in him that he thought would work out as an equitation horse, and he was obviously very right.
Well, you know, and you then, when you were in the final three, you guys had to switch horses anyway, didn't you?
Right.
So you switched with the other riders, so you were really riding a horse you had never ridden before.
Yeah. Luckily, not always having an equitation horse, like, isn't a good thing, but it's also helped me because I've been able to ride a lot of different horses, so that was actually the least of my worries whenever we got switched, so.
Okay, all right. Well, that's good. So now, what holds the future now? Do you go back to McClay again next year, or will you be off to other things?
Well, once you win the McClay, you can't do it anymore. So I don't have to do that actual class, but I will be going back to the National Horse Show to show in the Hunters and Jumpers, hopefully.
And do you hope to go to – are you a senior now?
Yes, I'm a senior.
Okay. So do you hope to go to college at this point, or are you hoping to ride professionally after high school?
No, I'm definitely going to college. I just signed with the University of Georgia, so
Jamie. Jamie's from Georgia, so I think she's happy you signed with the University of Georgia.
Oh. Now, if you just said Georgia Tech, we'd have had a problem, but that's the right one.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
Right on. And I hear they have a pretty good equestrian team there. Are you going to hope to be a part of that?
Yes, they do. Yes, I hope so.
Well, I think as the winner of the McClays, I think that pretty much guarantees you a spot on the team, does it not?
I hope so.
You don't think they're going to make her audition? You don't think so?
Yeah,
no. She's going to walk in the barn and be like, "Hi, here's my medal. Where's my horse?" Okay? Carry that thing around. So do they actually give you a medal? Is it a medal that you won? What did you win when you win the McClays? Do you win cash, prizes?
No, there's no money involved, but you get a medal and then a ribbon and a cooler. And they actually gave me a really pretty like bouquet of flowers. So.
Oh my gosh.
Next year, Jamie, when she comes back to the National, there's money involved.
Oh, that's right, because you are amateur, so you can't really win money. So where is your medal, right? It's kind of like if you're interviewing an Oscar winner, you have to ask them where their Oscar is. When you interview a McClay winner, where's your medal? Where's your Oscar?
It's actually on my kitchen table right now. But
she was showing it off to everybody at Thanksgiving, of course.
But hopefully I'll make a shadow box or something, put it in there.
Girl, just wear it everywhere, all the time.
Yeah. I didn't want to take it off after the class.
Oh, I'm sure. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, definitely take that thing to UGA with you. Walk in the barn and just be like, "Hi, my last name, my middle name is McClay, so I would like to be on the team." Own it, girl.
Yeah. We'll see how that works.
Well, that's awesome. Congratulations. And I'm glad that the dogs are getting a girl of your caliber on their team. That's awesome. We do a collegiate report here. We'll definitely be following you as you continue through the ranks there.
Thank you so much.
Well,
I hope
you
come back on with us.
Yeah, I hope so too.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right, bye-bye.
Congrats.
Bye. Thank you.
She was probably, I guarantee you, don't you think she was wearing it for Thanksgiving to show all her relatives and friends?
I would wear that thing all the time. I mean, I would carry those flowers around till they were wilted and dead.
She worked hard for that, for sure.
Well, that's really neat
that a girl from Oklahoma wins the McClay. That is neat. Now, last year, the winner, according to Susan Nelson, our authority and person who knows everything, our listener who knows everything, Haley Barnhill won in 2010. It was from Collierville, Tennessee. So we had a Southern girl win last year.
Now, I wonder if Haley is still wearing her medal.
I don't know. She's probably in college somewhere, you'd think. Well, Luke Skywalker was Mark Hamill. And that was from Susan Nelson again, our knower of everything. So Mark Hamill. Yeah. He was in something else. I can't remember what he also played in. I don't remember.
Let's see. Chad, do you know at all what Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, did besides Luke Skywalker?
Gymnast.
Huh? He was a gymnast?
Yeah, he was, actually. You're right. He was a gymnast before he got into the movies. He's a little guy. Not very big.
Look at the big brain on Chad back there. Hey, he was a gymnast, and he did some really bad Camaro movies, he said. Corvette movies?
Oh, that's right. Driving movies. That is right. I wish I could remember the name of that. All right, let's play our song. We'll come back with some news. We have lots of news from the weekend we want to get to. Some of it good, some of it not so good, but we'll talk about it. And I'm going to play a little Paul Justin from Norco, California, the guy that's helping us out, the musician out there. And he has a song, appropriately enough, named Back to California. So we'll be back here at Horses in the Morning right after we go back to California.
Here's my food to help you on your way. You are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you today by Omega Alpha. That's back to California. Paul Justin, we're going to meet him tomorrow when we get to Norco, California. I would like to let everybody know that today's song was brought to you by Pocket Stable. And just get it. Download it if you have an iPhone, if you have an iPad, if you have any sort of thing that receives apps, because you want to find PocketStable.com. Because if you keep track of your information like I used to, with, you know, sticky notes and receipts and a box of junk, keep track of it with Pocket Stable. You can keep track of farrier visits, shots, vaccines, deworming, weight tracking. All of the solutions to your problem are right there on Pocket Stable. It keeps all your horses' information in one easy-to-get-to place. Again, you know, even dentist visits, they do a weight tracker. Find Pocket Stable in an app store on your iPhone or visit them at PocketStable.com.
I like the way you started that commercial. We should just sell our commercials that way. Look, we're just going to tell them, go get it. Just get it.
Just
buy it. Go to PocketStable.com and buy it. That's it. Commercial's over.
It's $3.99. I mean, go buy it. Even if you use it intermittently, I actually have a couple times I've had to call my farrier and be like, hey, what day did you come? Because I have your receipt somewhere. I don't know where it is. And I want to put it into my Pocket Stable app. So do it, but be better at it than me. That's kind of what I would like to tell you.
I know. I don't know why you wouldn't. I think a lot of our listeners have at this point. But tell all your friends about it, too. Tell them to get it. Hey, got some bad news here for you, Jamie. We'll get the bad news over with right away. And that is, do you remember those five horses that were stolen from Southern Arkansas University a while back? And then they ended up finding a lot of the equipment in the trailer. And then they ended up finding four of the horses alive. Well, they actually have now, 3 weeks after this happened, found the final missing horse's remains. The horse was named Credit Card. It was a 15-year-old sorrel gelding, and it was found by the sheriff's department in Oklahoma on Friday morning, a long way from home, and due to the continuing investigation, they have not released any details about the location of the remains or what exactly happened. So apparently they still are investigating. They're still looking for these people pretty seriously, but the fifth horse has been found dead. So,
oh, that's horrible. Poor, yeah. You know, these are high school rodeo horses. College rodeo horses. And
right.
They found the four in the woods, you know, so the fifth one I hoped that they rode off on and were, you know, loving on, but apparently not. That's just horrible. What a sad story. But
yeah, well, you know, it leads us still to believe. Remember, we had wondered, because they were all tied to trees, the ones they found, did this one get loose? You know, still have that question sort of in the back of our mind, and I'm sure we'll hear once the investigation continues what's going on. A happier note than that particular one, there is an Australian show jumper by the name of Edwina Topps Alexander. This is what our last guest, the winner of the Medal McClay, has to look forward to in her life, Sarah. She has this to look forward to, because this Aussie by the name of Edwina Topps Alexander just won almost $500,000 after winning the world's richest equestrian competition. And that is a 10-part series that is put on in the show jumping world called Global Champions Tour. And she won the last of the 10 stages and ended up taking $412,500 in winnings home with her. And that was after the Abu Dhabi competition that just happened. So congratulations to her. And
hold on,
Sarah, there's what you have to look
now, for. Now, this is the Abu Dhabi, by the way, not Abu Dhabi. And I want you, Glenn, I'd love it when you do
this. I knew that.
I would like for you to say the horse's name.
Oh, I didn't even notice that, to be honest with you.
You're not going to be able to say it.
You know how I am with names. That's why you always do the hard name. Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Very French.
Not going to happen. I don't do French or anything. Clearly, I can
Chabot
I can try.
Chabot attack du Chabot.
Chabot ito du Chateau. You have to say it in a French accent.
All right, that's it. So that, and then To Honor and Serve came out and did something.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. To Honor and Serve won the Cigar Mile. And, you know, To Honor and Serve has had a fantastic career, and it is also Bernardini's son, which is Zenyatta's baby daddy. So they're really making Bernardini a phenomenal stud. You know, this is like an amazing year for him. And so he was just beaten in the Breeders' Cup by 3.5 lengths. So he comes back to Honor and Serve and wins the Cigar Mile, and it's a very prestigious grade one stakes race. It was this past Saturday, so congrats to him. I did find a really awesome story that I wanted you to tell you about, Glenna. I don't have it in the show notes. Do we have time, or are we going to take the caller?
No, we're good.
Okay, so I thought that I was crazy, but apparently not. Okay, there is... When I was trying to get Jet, my rescue thoroughbred, just rideable and broke, I would spend, you know, 20, 30 minutes a day on the lunge line with him, trying to get him just to, I mean, he wouldn't even hardly lead, much less do anything as far as riding goes. Well, he was in the barn overlooked at our last farm, the riding arena. And I would always put him in the stall closest to the riding arena while everybody was riding horses. So we had 5 horses, and then 4 would be in the arena, and I would leave him in the stall so he could watch everybody and hopefully try to glean something from all of us riding. And I really felt like it worked, because I thought, well, he's the only one not getting ridden right now, and he's watching all of his friends get ridden, and he's going to think that that's the norm, and then he's not going to really have a problem once I throw my leg over him. And I really thought that it worked.
I love that naive thinking.
You think that I'm naive. However, published on thehorse.com and republished on thebloodhorse.com is a study was conducted by the Department of Animal Health and Bioscience at Aarhus University in Tehele. I don't know where any of this is, but it all boils down to the Netherlands. Okay. So in the Netherlands, these Danish equestrian scientists got together and employed several groups of different types of horses to see if they could watch and learn. 23 geldings they put together, and they put a big box out in the field with them, and they taught one horse how to open the box and get grain out. Well, I think out of the 11 horses that they had in his group, he was teaching them how to open the box, 7 of them came out and learned to open the box because they watched him and they learned. I swear they watch and learn, and I knew it. They've been doing lots of other studies. Now, they did say in the study that there's still no scientific evidence that horses can learn from observing each other. I don't know what else you need besides all of them. They said the research cannot confirm that. But 7 of 11 learned from watching.
Jamie, that kind of makes sense, though. From when they're in the wild, they watch each other and they learn from each other in the wild.
I agree, and that's why I put my horse in the stall next to the arena so he could watch everybody get ridden. Now, they did say that the more complicated things that they tried to run tests on them were the horses had a little bit harder time with it as far as, you know, probably what they're talking
like
about is a horse watching another horse get ridden. But
it's like riding them.
It is there. So when you have a horse that learns how to open fences, open gates, does it not teach every other horse in that area to open fences and open gates? I think it does. And so now every horse is going to learn to crib. They all learn how to open fences, but they all can learn how to be ridden. That's what I took from that study. I was right.
We don't advise you getting on a horse that's never been ridden before just because they've watched other horses being ridden. Probably working with them for a bit first is advisable. Just that's the disclaimer for the show this morning.
Glenn, this is the best way to start your, you and Frankie Lovato wanted to start Unnatural Horsemanship. Well,
oh,
I mean, come on.
There we go. That's true.
Frankie,
you
want to
get your
first.
Horse. Here, Frankie, get on. If you want to get your horse good and broke, just put him next to your broke horse and let him get ridden. Just go ahead and throw your leg over him. Give him about a month. That's not what I'm saying.
Don't get
I'm
him, Frankie.
Do that.
Hey, I have another piece of advice for people who live in Ohio. Why is it in Ohio that you have such trouble with horses falling in their pools? Let's make a rule. Yeah, this is the second or third story we've done now out of Ohio of a horse that fell in a pool, and this one just happened to get saved by some construction workers that were working on the house next door who came over and saved. Now, there was a cover on the pool. The pool had been put away for the winter, but most people leave the water in their pool, and they put the cover over. Well, that's exactly what happened here. Let's make a rule. You should have your pool fenced in so your horse can't get walking on the cover and falling into the pool. That's a new rule. You got to fence in your pool and keep the horse away from the pool. I don't care if it has a cover on it or not. The cover is not going to hold a 1,200-pound horse. I'm just saying. That's my
okay, yeah, point. That's really, really dumb. Okay, first of all, it's freezing cold. There's probably snow on the ground. The horse just goes to walk across, and of course it's going to fall in the pool. Of course it is. There's cover on the pool. There's snow on the ground probably. It doesn't even matter if there's snow on the ground because your cover is usually green or something. They probably think it's grass on the middle of there, and they go walking across it. Of course your horse is going to fall. This is just irresponsible horse ownership at its best. Really. Seriously. Everybody's supposed to have a fence around. It's a law in Arizona that your pool has to have a fence like 8 feet out from it. Even if it's a fenced-in backyard.
Maybe he was like the horse we had that used to jump every fence in the property. He used to just go whatever field he wanted to be in with whatever horses he wanted to be in. He chose which field, and he just jumped the fence until we got there. He would do that every single day. We never knew which field he was going to be in because he would just keep jumping the fences till big gray horse, and he could jump anything. He was a terrific jumper, obviously, but the problem is, you know, he was one of those jumpers that figured out, well, if I could jump it with a rider, I can jump it without a rider. And
oh, boy.
That was kind of a problem.
That's like my horse Jet decided that he can jump out of the electric fence. He definitely has learned that. Fortunately, nobody else from watching him has learned that, so we're good.
All right, why don't we get our next caller on the line here and have a chat with her again.
All right. Well, you know, I love having her on, and you know, with some bad news that we just had about credit card and the horse that the remains were found, but four other ones were recovered. It's just appropriate that we talk to Debbie Metcalf from Stolen Horse International, which is also NetPosse, netposse.com. And Debbie, I hear that you have a happy story for us.
Oh, I do. Am I on the air?
You are. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Debbie. Good morning.
Good morning, y'all. How you doing?
I forgot
what a terrific southern accent you had.
Oh, well, there's nothing I can do about that.
I love it.
Own it. Own it, girl.
I am doing just fantastic. Overworked, underpaid as usual, but loving every day.
Awesome.
Oh, good. Awesome. And, of course, we appreciate what you do. And when I talked to you last week, I said, there's got to be some success stories out there. And you said you just had one. Tell us about it.
Oh, yes. We have a wonderful one. There's a horse that was named Mia that was listed on our site back in May. Now, Mia had been missing from her owner since 2009 from California. And she was missing as a young filly. And there was a situation, you know, usually is some kind of situation with some of our missing horse cases. And there was a situation where the horse was dropped off at a trainer's and, you know, something occurred that was not, you know, agreeable to both parties and the horse went missing. Well, they searched and searched and searched for a long time for the horse and then found our site last May and decided to list Mia on netposse.com. Well, she sat on netposse.com since May and the week before last, I got a call from Jim, and he told me that somebody had come onto the website, noticed the horse, and told It was the man's son, and told his father that they had Jim's horse.
Wow.
And now Mia is home.
After 2 years?
No.
Yes. That is one reason we never take the horses off the site. Once they're there, they're there. I mean, it's just a small little listing fee to help us continue what we do, but we don't take them off. We always think that it's a possibility to bring them home as long as they can still be alive. You never know who's going to come on the site just looking around to see what's, you know, what's there. And with this new site and with the new search features, you know, anytime if you put a black horse on there and anytime somebody searches for a black horse, all the black horses come up. The searching the missing ones, the stolen ones, the found ones. So, you know, it's just amazing what the new website comes up in the, with and the possibilities to locate horses and owners now.
So when you've got these horses that are on the websites and people are doing searches and oh, hey, wait, that's my horse. We've had it for 2 years. You know, is it – how does somebody give up an animal like that? What kind of thing – you know, how does that work? I think I'd have a hard time if I bought a horse and it was living with me for 2 years and I was really attached to it. You know, there's a little bit of a emotional kind of conundrum.
It is a conundrum, and it's one that varies from state to state, even county to county in some states. It really depends on the local law enforcement. In this particular case, they were able to prove that the trainer that had this horse sold the horse the same day that Jim dropped it off for training. So
it was
very clear that this horse, you know, that there was, you know, that there was something involved here rather than a just a contract for training.
Did somebody get arrested?
Not yet that I know of. And, you know, there's always gray areas in this, but one thing that we're so glad about is that law enforcement did get involved and picked up the horse.
Awesome.
Because lots of times in these situations, the horse stays where it is and the people have to duke it out in court. In this particular situation, the last I heard, and it's sad for the people that had the horse in most in these cases, but they have to go back to the people that sold them the horse and get their money back. And, you know, we had a
similar
situation.
I guess it's just like if you buy stolen property of any kind, you know.
And, you know, that happened to us, too, with Idaho. You know, we had our horse for 9 years. She was stolen. She ended up with after five sales, with a 10-year-old child. You know, it broke our heart to have to take her away from that little girl. I mean, it tore us up to do it. But that was our horse. And
right.
He belonged to us. And as much as it broke our heart to take her away from the little girl, she needed to come back to us. And it wasn't fair to make the victim suffer more.
I mean, absolutely. Now, to get to the reason why we call, obviously, the success story, yes, but we also want to talk about the annual fundraiser. As you said, you're underpaid because you don't get paid to do this.
No,
this is actually something you do out of the goodness of your heart. Tell everybody about the annual fundraiser that starts tonight.
Oh, well, it's so exciting. It actually started Saturday, but we are adding auction items every day through the first week in December, because every time we do this, people keep, you know, they see the items that are up for auction and they keep saying, can we help, can we help? So we never turn anybody away. So we just love to get all the things that we can, because this sets what we're able to do for the rest of the year. And, you know, we work on a shoestring budget as it is, but if this auction doesn't do well, then, you know, we may not do well. So the auction, anybody can donate anything that they want to donate. And with our new website, they can actually go onto the website, pull up the auction form, fill in their information, upload their pictures, and send it over to us. And we can list it live on the website so they get a free ad. And then it goes to eBay, and they get all the power of eBay behind it as well. But we have donations from clinicians such as the Pirellis, Guy McLean. We have one of our hot items is Buck the Film, the gift bag that Cindy donated to me. That's the director of the movie. I talked to her personally and picked that up. We have things from Craig Cameron, Helga's Horse Training, Scott Purdom, John Lyons. I mean, we just have all kinds of art and music and books. Like Lynn Bean donated something that is just beautiful. And, of course, we have the print from Idaho that Dawn Twinkler did. We haven't really sold that yet, but we're going to have the premiere. And these are limited numbered editions. We're going to put that out there. We have something from just a beautiful necklace that I wear all the time myself that I discovered last month. And that's going to be in there. And I think women are going to love that. As it's a designer item. I mean, I could just go on and on and on about the excitement of all the things that we have. We have lodging, tack and grooming items, and clothing. I mean, it's just all kinds of stuff. I get excited about it, and I have a lot of the stuff right here in the office, and, you know, I don't like to let some of it go.
You're just going to have to bid. I mean, there's a little bit of everything on here.
That's just it. No, I can't bid. I'm sit here looking at Lynn Bean's picture, and it is just, it's 5 of 50, a limited edition, and, you know, I hang it on the wall, and I enjoy it while it's here, but then when it's bid on, it's time for it to go, I reluctantly let it go. So I enjoy the items while they're here, and then they're gone. But I can't bid on anything myself.
I'm looking. I mean, there is a little bit of everything. There is clothes and bags and items and movies. And there's also classes that people have donated. You know, you can do a hoof trimming class and then training classes and all sorts of stuff that they give you a gift certificate for it. And, I mean, even the technical large animal emergency rescue course. You have
yes, and that one's closing out pretty soon. But what a wonderful idea for anybody that wants to train in that. And that's in Georgia, and I think it's closing out tomorrow. But, you know, they'll get a reduced rate, too. I think it's a $450 value, but, you know, the reserve is a lot less than that. So that's a wonderful idea for somebody that wants to get trained in that by one of the leading authorities in the country. So it's, you know, great. Great, great, great deal there.
Yeah, I mean, even free feed. So everybody, please, you know what? It's perfect because it is Cyber Monday. I mean, supposed to get online and shop today. So we're going to post your link everywhere. We do have some callers on the line, if you don't mind, that we would like to take.
Okay.
All right, we're going to start with Glenn. Let's go with Keith.
Hello.
All right.
Hey, Keith.
Hey there.
How you doing, Keith?
I'm doing good this morning. How are you?
I'm just fine.
Well, Keith, what can we do for you? What are you calling for?
Well, I was calling to talk Net Posse up, tell about what they've done for us and how they've helped us so far. And we're still in a big fight trying to get our horse back, but it's been a crazy situation, and if I can go on for a minute, I'll be quick about what went on. But basically, you never know. You never think something will happen to you until it does. And we came home. I came home. Matter of fact, the day we brought our daughter home from the hospital and found a horse missing out of the field, and took a few days and got her on. Got with Debbie and got online, and we found her 4 days later. But we still don't have her at home yet. There's a 20-year associate of the farm, and that I don't want to go in too much about it, but she was evicted a year earlier and asked to leave and take everything she, you know, that was hers, and she did that and came back and took the horse 10 months later that was bred due to foal months later. She had wanted to buy one of these babies for a few years and got turned down each time, and she went, being a long-time associate of the farm, she went to the lady the farm owner bought the horse from, and all that lady knew of was them being longtime friends. She wrote her another bill of sale for the horse. So she went and had her registered, picked her up, took her to another state. Basically, as far as that state's concerned, no law was broken there, and as far as our state's concerned, how do you prove you own a horse, even though, you know, we've got vet records and statements and farrier records, and you know, it's turned into a big big myth.
Let me ask Debbie a question on that, because this is a good point that Keith is making. So he has a horse, and somebody takes the horse and then resells it, which is almost the situation we were just talking about there. But how can you prove that you own a horse that the police will accept that, the courts will accept that as proof?
If I can butt in on Debbie, I'm going to say a microchip.
And that's exactly right. In Keith's situation, law enforcement in both states, because this was it was stolen from one state, crossed into another state, and both law enforcement agencies said if the horse had been microchipped and registered, Keith would have gotten his horse back. So that is one of the first things that we recommend. And in Keith's situation, the horse was not resold. It is still with the person that took the horse. And this case really baffles me. It really does. I don't understand why it was put into a civil situation, but it has been, as many of the cases are that many people think are true thefts.
Well, and again, that's the reason that it is important to have Net Posse around and to go and bid on the items in the auction, because you guys are out there to help people. So, again, unfortunate situation with Keith, and we're really sorry. And let this be a learning experience for everybody else. And we do wish you the best of luck, my friend, and I hope you get your horse back.
I hope we will, and if I could say, if anybody goes on and looks at the site tonight, if you don't get anything else, get microchips for your horses.
All right.
Thank you. That's the best thing you can do. Thank you.
All right, Keith. We appreciate your call. We got Sandy on the line, too. Got to say good morning to Sandy.
Good morning, everybody. Jamie and Glenn and Debbie, how are you?
Hey, Sandy.
I just had to call you guys because I am one. Well, Frankie and I both are probably some of Debbie's biggest fans, and not for any reason that we've ever had a horse stolen or anything, but I think I don't know how many years we've known Debbie now. We've seen her at Equine Affair, and I am totally amazed by the great work she does tirelessly. This woman just, if your horse is missing, this is the person to contact, because she's got an amazing team, and I just couldn't say enough. So I just really had to call and let anybody know, no matter what your situation is, if you've got a missing horse, you need to contact Debbie at Net Posse.
Well,
thanks.
Sandy, of course. Frankie Lovato's wife, Sandy Lovato, here, and we do appreciate everything that Frankie does on our show, and you too, Sandy, and to have an endorsement from you guys is important, and Net Posse is a great organization. And again, netposse.com, go check out these auction items. Are you bidding on anything, Sandy?
Oh, gosh, there's a couple of things. I want one of them Buck DVDs. I've been kind of holding off because I've wanted it for myself, but I'm actually going to do the bidding because I want Net Posse to benefit from my purchasing it. So I'm actually going to start bidding on that. Frankie also has donated one of his jockey DVDs, What It Takes
That's
to Be a Jockey. You were about to say that, Debbie?
Yeah, I was about to tell everybody that he has done that.
Yeah,
but I'll let you do it.
There it is. But, yeah, I want one of those Buck DVDs. And if I was closer to, I think it's Georgia, where you can go for that emergency large animal rescue course. Oh, I would love to take that if it was closer. I heard it's absolutely an amazing course. But, yeah, I mean, if you guys get a chance to go through and look at the stuff that's been donated, oh, my gosh, there's some great things. And, again, it everything benefits to help Debbie with her mission of helping owners get their horses back.
Well, Sandy, thank you so much for calling in and talking to us about it. We appreciate it, and I hope you have a wonderful day, and get some bidding done, girl.
I will. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Thanks, Sandy.
All right. And we've got Jennifer on the line next. Jennifer, wow, all these callers calling in. Debbie, you are very, very popular.
Good morning.
Hello, Jennifer. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Jennifer.
Good morning, Debbie. How are you?
I am fine. I'm very happy this morning, actually.
What was that?
I said I'm very happy this morning.
Oh, good. I'm calling in because, of course, I'd like to talk about Net Posse and how amazing Debbie has been with helping horse owners and turning on the heat for the thieves out there who think they can get away with this. And mainly one thing I wanted to say is it's amazing how many people who cannot believe that horse thievery goes on today. They can't believe it with all the horses that are being just relinquished because people can't afford to have them, that the horse theft is still so prevalent. And Net Posse has just been amazing putting out alerts and just having people realize how important it is for us horse owners to get together and really put the heat up on these people who think that they can just go in and steal people's horses from their lives. And I'm just so thrilled to be able to help Debbie any way that I can, whether it's donating items to the auction, which, by the way, there are so many really amazing items up for auction right now. And I just found out that Sandy must be the one who's bidding against me on the Buff DVD. So I'm going, Sandy, I'm getting that DVD. So yeah, I was the same way. I definitely wanted to buy that DVD as well. And I thought, gosh, this is the best way to do it, is to buy it through the auction, and I'll be able to support Debbie as well. And so I'm bidding on that too.
It's the perfect time to do it, Jennifer, because you know, Christmas is coming. You can buy your Christmas gifts here. And I tell you which one I'm looking at, and I'm just telling everybody out there, don't bid against me. It's the sixth night Wild Magnolia Cabin. It's a cabin in the Smoky Mountains, and it has 10 stall stables with it. You can bring your horses and stay there for 6 days.
Yes.
I'm ready.
Well, I can tell you
one
that,
of them too.
That Dr. Dan, the natural horse vet, is the one that put that up for us. He's a big supporter of our organization, and we had that in the auction a few years ago, and some ladies from Colorado won that auction, and they got together and drove all the way from Colorado to Dr. Dan's place and absolutely loved it. So it's a wonderful place to go. And how many places can you go with a 10-stall barn and a jacuzzi to boot?
I'm thinking about a Horse Radio Network hosts reunion next year, Jamie. We all get together at this cabin. Bring our horses.
All right, I'll do it.
And it's at Big Southport. You can ride all day and sit in the hot tub at night.
Oh, perfect.
Never mind.
Well,
I'm out.
A great way to spend the day.
I don't want to see Glenn in a bathing suit, so I'm out. I'll bid on it for myself. Hey, Jennifer, thank you so much for calling. We appreciate it. And we've got Paula on the line as well. Paula calling in to talk to Debbie. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Oh, good, Debbie. Still trying to find my horse, but it's hard. It's hard. This is a cowboy that we haven't found since the hurricane.
Bless your heart.
Paula is from New York, and she is from Greene County. Is that right, Paula?
Well, yeah, we're on the Greene County-Albany County line, yes.
And when Hurricane Irene struck, and this one just really hurts me because her family lost their home.
They lost their home and their property.
And their property, another pony. They did find two of their horses, but they are still looking for Cowboy.
That's correct, It's funny because last week somebody called me from the, there's like a trailer park right next to where my daughter's property was, and they said there was a horse down there. And, oh, my God, I couldn't get down there fast enough. My heart was beating. I was breathing fast, and it wasn't Cowboy, but you think you're getting over it. You just don't.
Well, and I got to tell you, too, that there was a horse spotted in my area that one of the Net Posse people saw. Somebody had called him and said, I think I saw your horse on the freeway, blah, blah, blah. So I actually was close enough to go look at the horse for her. And I'm telling you, even if it's not your horse and you're just like, I just was driving over there to compare a horse to a picture. My heart raced and that beat out of my chest when I was driving over there. And unfortunately, it turned out to be a very similar horse, but not the horse that she was looking for. And I just cried all the way home. I just thought, I just knew I was going to find that horse for that woman. And it affects everybody. And it is shocking that horses get stolen in today's economy where, my God, how many horses need homes right now? The rescues are full. If you're going to steal a dang horse, just go adopt one. Leave us alone.
That's correct. But, you know, when it's a flood like that, and, you know, you saw the horses in the middle of the Catskill Creek trying to hang on, the ones that we were able to save, and, you know, somebody said they saw a third horse further down on a fallen down stone wall, but that would have been Cowboy. But the thing of it is, there's just no sign of him. You know, a lot of people lost a lot of animals around here, both in Schoharie, Greene County, and but most of them were able to have some evidence that the horse, you know, had passed. But Cowboy, there's just no trace. There's nothing. I keep looking at the creek, and you know, as I'm driving by and places where I can see, and I'm thinking to myself, well, he could have got out there, he could have got out over here, you know. But you know, the state workers, I've called them, and you know, if they found any remains, but nobody has seen a thing, not a trace of him.
And see, in Paula's case too, he could have gotten out somewhere. Somebody could have picked him up, not know where he goes back to. He could have been shifted to a rescue somewhere, shifted and adopted out because nobody knows where he goes back to. I mean, I see these types of things, you know, just when horses are found, happen all the time. So, you know, Cowboy could be anywhere.
Yeah.
Debbie, what advice? We thank you so much for calling, Paula. And Debbie, I would like to kind of get from you, what is the best thing to do? I want to go online and I want to see a picture of Cowboy so I can start looking around, make sure he's not in my neighborhood. Is there on netposse.com, how do we go in there and just to look at horses that are missing so we can start to kind of compare them and get familiar with them?
Well, the first thing you can do is just go onto the website. You'll hit a landing page first and just click on the big netposse.com emblem, you know, our logo up there, or click go to homepage. And once you're there, just click on reports. And you can search through the listings or you can click on a state, search by the state. But if you want to see the newest reports, just click on reports and search reports. And it brings up the newest listings. And you'll see.
All right.
And for every report that's there, you'll be able to put your mouse over a picture, and it brings up a larger picture. I'm just so proud of this new website. You know, we're still working some of the bugs out, but this website is here because of the donations and the money that we've raised over the years. I mean, it still looks real simple, but I promise you the technology behind it is high dollar all the way. And we're so fortunate to have it. And the fundraisers that we've had over the years have helped us bring this to the public. I mean, it's amazing what it does and what we can do to help victims now to get their horses searchable.
When you go there,
you'll see. And then you can search by breed. You can search by color. You can search by state. I mean, it's amazing how you can search.
Oh, it is. And I'm looking through the reports, and I'm just excited to see how many were actually recovered. So it goes through there.
We do. But we do stamp the ones that have been found recovered because we want people to know that, you know, the naysayers that say, oh, that horse is gone, you'll never find it. We want people to know that, yeah, they are found. That, you know, don't give up on them because these horses are found. Here's the stories. This is how they were found. Read some of those recoveries. Read what happened. And this is education. This is what people should read to know that it happened to other people, and, yes, it can happen to you too. There's nothing special about anybody that makes you exempt from any of this.
Well, we've got another caller on the line. Siri is on the phone. Good morning, Siri. How are you?
Good morning. I'm okay. How are you?
Good morning, Siri.
Good morning.
So what are you calling for?
Well, I unfortunately had a very dear pony stolen from my property last weekend. And like so many others, I'm in shock that somebody would do this, and with all the horses out there that need homes, why would they target somebody else's? But it's just heartbreaking, and I'm hoping that we find her.
Can I insert something a little bit here before we talk about Siri's pony? Siri's pony is a beautiful, beautiful little pony, and I want to remind people that this is the Christmas season. And this is the time of year that we see the child-safe ponies and horses taken the most. And if you take a look at Siri on our webpage, she is a beautiful little pony, and she will make a beautiful Christmas gift for some pony somewhere. And so if you're buying a pony and you get this pony, please take a look at the website. Somebody's going to get this pony for Christmas. I just bet it. I just bet it that it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
All right, go ahead.
I agree. I think somebody took her specifically and for a gift.
Yeah.
And it's affected our family, but not only our family. She does birthday parties with me as part of my business. So hundreds of children are going to be missing out on a really great pony, as aside from just it being a heartbreak to our own family.
Well, and I got to tell you, this pony is in Arizona, and as soon as you said pony, I knew it was that cute, stinking cute little gray pony, because I'm not kidding you. This pony will be found, because this went everywhere. Every single person that I know in Arizona that has horses emailed me about this, and I just knew Nut Posse was on top of it. And yeah, I mean, they get them before we do. So definitely everybody go look at this cute pony, Pixie Dust, a little white Welsh pony. And if you know somebody that got a pony for Christmas, please double check, okay? This was even on the local Fox News here in Arizona.
Yeah, it's been amazing to me how quickly the news spread and how far outreaching and how many people emailed me instantly and said, get on Nut Posse. You've got to use Nut Posse. I mean, it was like I was inundated with emails about Nut Posse, and I'm like, okay, I've got to do this. I was so overwhelmed by her missing and trying to get everything out there. But I got emails and phone calls from Canada, New York, and California, and everywhere in between. And I'm thankful that so many people jumped in so quickly to help me, and that Debbie was great emailing me, okay, you need to do this. And it was really helpful to have somebody kind of guide me through. And this is what you need to do. I had hundreds of people tell me, do this. But having a calm voice guiding me, okay, get this done, make sure this is done. And I had filed the police report as soon as I realized she was missing, because I knew she was taken. It wasn't a situation where she could have gotten out.
Right.
And so
right.
Just having so much support, and I think so many, many eyes looking for her, I am so hopeful that we bring her home, because she's dearly missed. She is beautiful, and she is a sweetheart.
And she's family. So, everybody, please,
yes.
If you haven't seen it, first go to Nut Posse. Obviously, you can do the bidding, help raise money to keep this fantastic website going and keep food on Debbie's table. No. And let's keep Debbie fed through the holidays.
Well, it doesn't keep Debbie fed, because Debbie doesn't get anything, but it does keep Stolen Horse International fed, and that's my big concern here, is because, you know, the donations are down 60%, you know, just like all the nonprofits and businesses across the United States. We're all hurting, and it's a constant stress for me to try to keep the organization going, because sometimes people confuse us with, you know, the other social mediums and think that we're just, you know, they don't understand that we have overhead like we do, and because,
right.
You know, we're not just a Facebook page. Facebook is just a resource for us, and we do so much more, as you just heard Suri talk about, you know, that people don't see. And, you know, we provide these tools for Suri, like right now on Suri's page for Pixie Dust, the Fox News coverage is there. When you go to Suri's page for Pixie Dust, you can see the Fox News coverage. We try to keep everything in one place for everybody, so they don't have to go searching for it all over the place. When they come there, they can read the news, they can see the pictures, they can print the flyer. You know, it's well thought out. And you know, with Pixie Dust, I have a soft spot for Pixie Dust, because one of the best horses we ever had was Polly Pony. And Polly Pony raised my children, so and Polly Pony died about this time, when and many, many years ago, and is still on my refrigerator. So when I see a pony come across at Christmas time, it just really, you know, gets to me. Because I know this little pony is out there somewhere right now in being sold for a Christmas present. It just, she just has to be.
And all of us that have had have grown up with ponies have had that pony as part of the family, and we all know what certainly what that's like. Well, thank you, Siri, for giving us a call. We're running out of time, but we have two more callers we want to take at this point. And the next one up is Jean. So good morning, Jean.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jean.
Thank you. Thank you
good
for
morning,
calling.
Debbie.
We really appreciate it.
Well, I wish mine was a success story. Debbie was wonderful in terms of getting the information out, and I did hear from a lot of people across the country on this horse. Apparently what happened, this horse very definitely was stolen from the pasture, and he was missing, or so we thought, for almost a month. As it turned out, the trainer was out hunting and very close to her property. I mean, right really on the back side of her property, just inside the wood line, and smelled something and went to investigate. And sure enough, there was Jake. And it was heartbreaking. They called and had an investigator out who had been working on the case. He came out. They had a lady come down and do an autopsy, necropsy on him, the necropsy was fascinating. Outside of the fact that it was my horse, and that was the hard part of it, but we did find out that the horse had a broken neck close to his shoulders. He had a broken knee, a direct break right there at the kneecap, and his shoulder was pretty badly damaged and broken.
This is just horrible. This is a horrible story. And I guess kind of part of what happens sometimes, you know, and the thing that you prayed is never going to happen. Now, you obviously contacted Net Posse as soon as possible, right?
A friend of mine, it was a two-hour drive home from the trainers, and she got on immediately. She knew where to go, and she got this information out to Debbie, and then I started communicating with Debbie. But this, my hunch is this is a horse that whoever tried to take him tried loading him. He was taken in the night. They tried loading him in an unfamiliar trailer. This is a horse that's never, ever known force. He was a sweet-natured horse. If they tried to force him in the trailer, yes, he fought. And I suspect he fought hard enough that in the melee of fighting, he injured himself. They probably figured no vet is ever going to look at this horse. I mean, we can't get the horse vetted, you know. He's a stolen animal. So they just cut him loose. And he was close enough that he tried finding his way back to the trainers. And if a horse is traveling through the woods with an injury and takes an off step, I mean, this is conjecture at this point, but he landed in a small stream. And from there, if there was any injury to the neck, it finalized it. It was very sad. And there's just too many, you know, the horse is gone. But there are so many unanswered questions that I guess at this point, you know, they'll never be answered. Microchip, yes, very definitely. My horses will be microchipped from now on. And also, contracts. Review the contract and make sure that wherever your horse is being taken, they do have, they do cover injury or theft or whatever. And there are things that I've learned from this, and I do support Debbie's what she has done. I think it's an amazing thing for people to be able to post and to look at.
Well, Jean, we do appreciate your call. We're running out of time, unfortunately, and we have one more call to get to. Very sad. Please, everybody go to netposse.com. Bid on stuff on eBay. It's awesome horse stuff, and help raise money for this organization. This turned into be like a, what do you call it, like a telethon. When we're just trying to talk about stolen horses, but it's important to help. So we've got, I think, one more call. Bernice is on the line. Bernice, good morning.
Well, good morning.
Good morning, Bernice.
Hi, Debbie.
So, Bernice, what can we do for you?
Well, first I want to say thank you. You almost made me cry again when you was telling your little story earlier about how you went and looked at a horse that was in your area, because that was Mayito.
Mayito's owner, Bernice, how are you?
I'm fine.
Oh, that was such a
tough thing. 63 weeks and 3 days, still looking.
63 weeks. Oh, well, you know, we've heard the stories. They come back. The one that Debbie told us was 2 years, so it can happen.
We never
know. I'm not giving up.
Bernice knows I'm not giving up.
No. I know that.
I was drinking out of her Mojito coffee cup this morning.
Hey, Bernice, did I hear you got another horse?
Is a wonderful organization. And just all the support that you get from that posse is worth more than anything. I mean, I just can't express it. It's an awesome organization.
Yeah,
well, Bernice,
it absolutely is.
I appreciate you giving us a call, Bernice. Unfortunately, we're totally out of time here, and they're going to kick us off the air soon. So we appreciate you giving us a call, and the best of luck.
That's okay.
You know we're thinking about you all the time.
Aw, Mito, come home.
Bye,
well,
Bernice.
Thank you so much, Debbie, for joining us this morning. We plain have run out of time. This has been, you know, I wish I could say it's been fun, but it's been interesting, and it reminds us all, I think, more than anything, I don't know that we have gotten our horse microchipped since we talked the last time. So I think it just reminds us all that we need to do to be more vigilant and also to take all the precautions that we can so this doesn't happen to us at the holidays or any other time.
Well, you can come right to netposse.com, click on the store, and order your microchip right from us, and we have 2 national registrations right there. And please, everybody, you know, do it for a gift for your friends or your family, because how many halters and pads can you have? Protect your horses first.
That's
true. And get the microchip kit from netposse.com for Christmas.
And go bid on the auction stuff, all except for that trip or that 6 days in North Carolina, because that's the one I'm buying.
Can I come?
Hey, sure. We'll invite you down. Bring your horse.
Okay.
But only microchipped horses are allowed to attend.
All mine are microchipped.
Okay. Thank
you,
Debbie,
so much.
Avoid the
hot tub, Debbie. Avoid the hot tub. Don't do it.
Don't worry. I'm not getting in the hot tub. I wouldn't want to do that to anybody.
Oh, gosh. Well, everybody, please, netposse.com. Thank you, Debbie, so much for being on the show. And, of course, everybody, thank you so much for calling in and being a part of the show and sharing your story with us. Just goes to show you how important Net Posse is, and it can happen to you. So microchip and support Net Posse by going on and bidding on some of the auction items. It's not like they're asking for your money for nothing. They're actually going to give you something that you want.
That's right. Christmas gifts for your friends or yourself. Heck, why give it to somebody else? Just buy it for yourself.
Yeah, just keep it. Cyber Monday.
All right, we're just going to wrap it up here real quick. Of course, tomorrow we will have a recorded best of show for you, and then we'll be live the rest of the week from Norco, California, as we mentioned earlier in the show. So please tune in. We're going to be having a lot of fun, and we hope to share the fun of Horsetown USA with you as well. We'll be posting a lot of pictures and some videos on our Facebook page, so keep an eye on that starting tomorrow, I assume. We'll be starting to post those as we arrive in Norco. And that's about it. Have a great day, everybody. We'll see you live again on Wednesday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern.
All right. Spay, neuter, and geld, people, and microchip.
Hey, Davey.